Welcome to Signals and Bits, a podcast where Bernie Arneson, editor-in-chief of Telecompetitor, breaks down some of the most important news coming out of the broadband industry. We'll keep it short and to the point. Let's dive in.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest edition of Signals and Bits. Bernie Arneson here, and I'm back from a very restful vacation and thrilled to be recording this latest edition. Thanks so much for listening. So let's get after it. There was a bit of a sigh of relief from the fixed wireless industry this week, as the FCC said it is finally ready to authorize two major fixed wireless providers, Nextlink and Starry Internet, for RDOF funding to build out rural broadband across several states. These two fixed wireless providers collectively bid for $740 million in RDOF funding. Nextlink received its full amount of $429 million, while Starry got most of the $311 million that it bid. Now, this is noteworthy because both providers intend to use fixed wireless, in addition to fiber broadband, to build out some RDOF-funded territory. And fixed wireless technology has been in a bit of limbo, at least as it relates to recent federal funding programs like RDOF. Many of the top 10 RDOF winners were historic fixed wireless providers. One, LTD Broadband, was outright rejected, and another, Resound Networks, is still awaiting approval. Now, given the RDOF auction concluded over 18 months ago, and these major fixed wireless providers were still awaiting approval, you really did begin to wonder if the FCC was taking a stance against large-scale fixed wireless deployments for RDOF funding. Well, that question has been answered, and it could prove to be beneficial for the overall fixed wireless industry, as it will give it some momentum and perhaps give fixed wireless providers an opportunity to deploy gigabit-capable fixed wireless at scale and prove that it is indeed viable. Or maybe not. We'll soon see. Now, that will be important insight for other upcoming funding programs like BEAD, which has already questioned the viability of fixed wireless, appearing to favor fiber broadband as the preferred technology of funding choice. Although NTI Administrator Alan Davidson has publicly said he doesn't think the BEAD rules will rule out fixed wireless entirely. Now, this is a complicated issue with many moving parts and literally billions of dollars of funding in the balance. We're covering it pretty closely at Telecompetitor, especially our executive editor, Joan Ingebretson. So I encourage you to follow along with that issue. Okay, I'm ready. Are you? Let's digress. This next observation fits in the I'm a bit of an old fart category. Now, I may be late to the party on this, and it could very well be old news to many of you, but it was news to me, and I have to say, very interesting. A good friend of mine alerted me to a kind of unique wedding invitation he and his wife received recently. So I took the bait. What made it interesting? Well, this particular wedding is part of the relatively new movement known as the soligamy movement. Soligamy as in solo. That is, some people have decided to marry, wait for it, themselves. Yes, formally marry themselves. There's no bride and groom at this wedding, only a bride who is marrying herself at a full-scale wedding, white dress and all, with all the wedding bells and whistles, including a ceremony and a reception. And by the looks of it, it ain't gonna be cheap. Apparently, she even gave herself an engagement ring. Now, I know things evolve, and it can be really hard to find a compatible mate. And quite frankly, some people would rather just be alone. So who am I to judge? If you want to marry yourself, go for it. Different strokes for different folks. That's what makes America great. But where I do struggle a bit is if you're going to marry yourself, shouldn't that at least make the wedding somewhat of a scaled-down affair? I mean, I've been accused of being a bit frugal, cheap even. So if I'm going to marry myself, I think I'd probably skip the $4 or $5 figure engagement ring. Maybe I'd go for a three-figure engagement ring. And I'm not sure I'd go for a full-blown wedding either. I mean, maybe a cookout with some fancy barbecue. And even with that, I'd keep the guest list to maybe 10. But a full-blown wedding? I'm not sure I would treat myself that well. But of course, the biggest question that came to mind for me, what if this thing doesn't work out? I mean, as much as you love yourself, relationships are tough. I mean, can you divorce yourself? Feels like that could get pretty messy. I mean, how do you divide up your own stuff with yourself? One thing for sure, though, I guarantee you there's some lawyer somewhere advertising for a complete $499 divorce yourself package. My advice, as with the wedding, go cheaper. Wait it out. Wait for the $199 divorce yourself package. You can thank me later. Back to broadband. Get ready for Brightspeed, the new carrier formed by private equity firm Apollo Funds that is acquiring the local exchange assets in 20 states from Lumen, formerly CenturyLink. Brightspeed received its last needed regulatory approval from the FCC for this transaction, and it's expected to close on the full transaction in the fourth quarter of this year. Now, after closing, Brightspeed will become a major broadband service provider with a network that can reach 6 million homes and businesses across 20 states, from Texas to New Jersey. That will insert Brightspeed into one of the top 10 wireline telecom providers in the U.S. Brightspeed territory is effectively the old CenturyTel local exchange properties that were a part of Lumen from one of its many past acquisitions. Brightspeed has been busily announcing its plans across all these territories, and the company intends to expand beyond the legacy ILEC locations, spending $2 billion over the next 5 years to reach as many as 3 million homes with XGS-PON fiber. And that will give it symmetrical multi-gig capabilities to those locations. Brightspeed has already assembled a management team that includes several Verizon veterans, including Brightspeed CEO Bob Mudge, who was Verizon President of Consumer and Mass Markets, overseeing Fios. Now, before I get to broadband news hits, I have some other important news for you, and that is, welcome to Stoner Nation. According to a Gallup poll, there are now more marijuana smokers in the U.S. than cigarette smokers for the first time in history. The substance also known as pot, ganja, weed, or as a good friend from North Dakota told me recently, devil's grass. Well, 16% of Americans now say they smoke it regularly. And that's just the smoking. There's also the edibles now. Hell, you can even get it in drinks, a la cocktails. It's legal in one form or another across 19 states and is allowed for medical use in 38 states. So it looks like the genie is out of the bottle here, and there's no turning back. Someday soon, You'll be able to walk into a convenience store and buy a pack of devil's grass joints, just like you can buy a pack of cigarettes today. And before you ask, no, I don't partake in that before recording episodes of Signals and Bits. Given some of my rants, I'm sure some people may wonder. Okay, let's run with broadband news hits of the past couple of weeks. Louisiana is first out of the gate, having received the first funding for BEAD planning, receiving $3.9 million to get their BEAD plans together. T-Mobile just won most of the 2.5 gigahertz wireless spectrum licenses in the just concluded FCC auction 108. No other large national wireless carrier won any licenses. Frontier settled with the state of Connecticut for $60 million over a bunch of issues, including poor internet performance, hidden fees on bills, and a variety of other issues. The Treasury Department announced another round of capital projects funding, with $408 million going to five states for broadband, including Arkansas, Connecticut, Indiana, Nebraska, and North Dakota. SpaceX Starlink broadband service suffered a network outage that appeared to impact its global footprint. Joining other cable providers, Cox unveiled its own mobile service with an initial launch in three markets, with more to come. It's been a big couple of weeks for tribal broadband funding, with NTIA having announced close to $450 million in tribal broadband funding since August 11th. Municipal broadband provider EPB launched a 25 gigabit per second service in its Chattanooga, Tennessee market. And finally, a report from RVA for the Fiber Broadband Association outlines the appeal of fiber broadband and how it's attracting more people to move to smaller towns and rural areas, with a considerable corresponding economic impact. Well, folks, that's a wrap for this edition of Signals and Bits. Thanks so much for listening, and I'd love to hear your feedback, good or bad. Drop me a line at bernie@telecompetitor.com. Look for new episodes every couple of weeks or so, and use it to get caught up with the most important developments in broadband, plus my snarky observations and rants on a bunch of other stuff too. Thanks again, and as always, check us out at telecompetitor.com. Take care, everyone.